Hi, good afternoon, all of you. Maybe we'll keep your Bibles open to both the passages. I know it has been a bit of a mouthful, but both will come together as I cover the woman from Shunem in the first passage, and I cover the Lord Jesus Christ as we end. Come, let's talk to the King of Kings before we speak from his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are indeed beautiful. And because you are beautiful, Father, you have wonderfully and beautifully created each one of us sitting here this evening in your sanctuary. We thank you, Lord, that as we celebrate life, we thank you, Father, for every ounce of life you have given to us, because this life is what you died for and we believe in. And because of this life, we will serve you. So we ask this afternoon, Father, as we look into issues of our health, that, Father, we will always guard ourselves spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And we will always remember your very precious words in Proverbs, "My son, always guard my words in your heart. Always keep them before your eyes. Incline your ears towards my word." Why? Because they are life to each one of you who has found them, and because they are health to all of your flesh and bone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. The background is this: Elijah has already been taken up, and now Elisha has taken over the mantle of the prophet. Now Elisha ministers in this city called Shunem. So as he's going in and out of this city, a lady, she's about 42 to 46. We do not have her name, but she's roughly that age. She's of a noble character. She's well known in that particular city. Her husband is involved in agriculture. And both of them notice this man of God goes in and out of the city of Shunem. So she decides in verse 8, I will actually go through the verses with you, just highlight certain verses. In verse 8, she notices that he's a man of God and he's holy. So she tells her husband, "Hey, we have plenty. Why don't we build an upper room? And in that upper room, he can rest when he goes through the city of Shunem." Both agree and they build a room for the servant of the living God, Elisha. So Elisha rests in the upper room. Verse 11, Elisha notices that this lady is so kind to him, you know, so kind. And you know, for those of you who have traveled in ministry, when people open up their home towards you, when they invite you in, you want to return the favor. You want to find out, how can I meet these ladies' need? So she asks, and Gehazi, the servant, says, "She has no son. She has no inheritance to pass down." In those days, I'm sure you all will realize in the Jewish community that if I didn't have a son, everything I have, whether it's land or whether it's agriculture, who do I pass it to? I cannot pass it to anybody. So Elisha senses that this lady wants to be a mother. So she calls her up to the room in verse 11, and she tells her, "This year, next time, you will bore a child." So this lady, who is, "All right, I allowed you to come into my home, the servant of the living God. I allowed you to rest in my upper room. And now, you have hit something very personal in my heart. You have made a pronouncement that I will be a mother exactly 1 year from now." And she looks at the servant of the living God and she tells him, "Do not lie to me. I am hurt enough. I have served and served. I've even given you a place in the upper room. Do not lie to me." It is very hurting for any one of you who has suffered from illnesses, diseases. And when we go for healing, we always want to walk by sight. We want our illnesses to be immediately healed. Well, healing is definitely in the hands of the Lord. We can walk by sight, but there's also evidence that given enough time, our Lord will take care of every illness in your life. I work in St. Andrew's Mission Hospital, and we have about 240 patients, usually most of them within the ages of 70 to 80. And they were all fit. They were all well. They were grandfathers. They were grandmothers. They were looking after their grandchildren, or they are even working. And most of the time in the community hospital, we look after them when they have suffered from a stroke, from a fracture, from a road traffic accident, or even from a brain injury. And when you are no more whole, it is very disturbing to your life, because we came into this world whole and we want to leave this world whole. Well, the good news about the matter is that all healing, whether medicine, surgery, molecular medicine, precision medicine, or just by the confession of the sin in your life, is ordained by the living God. All healing. But we need to walk through the healing, because now we know that the servant of the living God has pronounced upon this lady that your infertility is cured, and 1 year from now you are going to have a child. Does she believe him? We do not know. She guards her emotions very well. We do not know her emotions. Exactly 1 year from that date, she bears a child. She bears a son. And I'm sure there's immense amount of happiness for any one of you who has become a parent, who has been married for enough years, and you've been waiting and wanting for a son or a daughter. And when the child comes into your life, it is such a happy, joyous occasion. So they have a very happy, joyous occasion. The child grows, and one day the child follows the father to the field. And in the field, the child gets a very severe headache. And the child tells the father, "My head, my head." And the father senses that something is not well with his son. So he tells the servant, "Take this boy straight back to his mother." And the son is brought to the mother, and the mother sees her sick child. Any one of you who has nursed a sick child will understand, you always want the child to be well, you know. And she holds the child. She holds the child. I'm not sure what she's saying or what she's doing, because it's not documented in the Bible. And she holds this child till 12 noon. And the child dies. The child dies in his mother's hand. Sudden death is very tragic in the life of any one of us who has experienced the life of someone going off. In the last 10 years, we have had about 12 of our elderly that have sudden death. They were well. They had meals with their family. They were undergoing their rehabilitation. And either in the middle of the night or in the early hours of the morning, they collapsed. And when we call the families cannot believe it. You know, they'll come and ask you, "Why? What happened? Give us an account. What were the last words of my parents?" Sudden death of an elderly is very difficult for the children to take. Can you imagine the sudden death of a child in the hands of a mother who could not have a child? If I didn't have the child, okay, I won't have to face all this anguish in my life. But this servant of the living God, he pronounced me healed. He gave me a son. And now the son is dead. So what does she do? She goes to her husband and tells her husband, "Saddle for me a donkey and I am going to Mount Carmel." For those of you who may not know, the city of Shunem to Mount Carmel is 30 kilometers. But she tells the servant, "Do not slow this donkey down, because I am a lady and I need to leave today." In fact, the husband asks her in verse 23, "Why must you go today?" She says, "No, I must go now, today." And so she goes 30 kilometers on a donkey. to meet the servant of the living God. And at the moment, Elisha is actually on the mountain, and he sees this very rapid donkey coming, with a lady on it. And he tells Gehazi, that's the woman, That's the woman we healed. Can you please go down and meet her and ask her, is it well? Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Now, the lady from Shunem has no time to waste. She completely ignores Gehazi. Don't waste my time. I need to meet the man who pronounced me and made me and healed me, and now my son is dead. Before going to meet Elisha, she takes her son. She takes the son to the upper room that she had made for the servant of the living king, and she lays this dead boy on his bed. Okay. Now she goes to meet Elisha. Elisha at that time does not have the sensing of the living king. He cannot sense that the boy is dead. But he knows this lady coming to him is very, very distressed. So in verse 23 and verse 30, there's an ongoing conversation, but because of a lack of time, we won't go through verse by verse. In verse 30, she says, she explains to him what has happened. And so he first sends Gehazi with a staff down 30 kilometers to go and touch the child. But she tells him, as the Lord lives, I am not going to leave you alone. I will go with you, and I want you to come. Come and heal my son. There will be many days in our life where we want to actually go through the day without planning, maybe without understanding. It may be an ordinary day. And that was what happened to this boy when he went to the field. It was an ordinary day. But on that one day, he died. And all of you sitting here will have your one day. All of you sitting here will have your one day. Your one day when you hear that your health, which was so strong, is not as strong anymore. Your one day when your daughter is hit in a car accident. Your one day when your son may be involved in a fight. All of you sitting here will have your one day. So what do you do when you have your one day? You look at the lady from Shunem. She could have very easily stayed behind. She could have very easily been part of a husband and wife team and buried her son. But what she did, instead of running away, she decided to run towards the servant of the living God. One lesson we can learn from the beginning part of this 2 Kings chapter 4 is that whenever we are disturbed, whenever we are upset, whenever we get unexpected news, we should always turn and run towards God. We should never turn away from Him. Of course, we are emotionally upset. Of course, we are angry. Of course, we want to meet the servant of the living God. She went. But of course, her emotions are, we do not know much about it. But she was able to tell this servant of the living God, as the Lord lives, and this we must believe. Whatever happens to any one of us, we are all on a journey going home. I repeat that statement to you again as we share with our patients in the hospital. Whatever happens to any one of us, we are on a journey going home. We must accept that this is not our home. This is just our temporary home. And one day we will all arrive home. But along the way, we want to have life. We want to live. We want to enjoy our family. We want to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We want to be able to live a life that is acceptable to the king. So this is why this lady went to confront Elisha. The confrontation is very muted. It's very muted. We do not know her emotions. And for a lady, she's very controlled. But the words that she speaks are very powerful. One, I will not leave you. And two, as your Lord lives. We believe in a living God, all of you here. We do not believe in a dead Jew that is still dead on the cross. And if we believe in a living God and He's so powerful, we must believe that when we run to Him, and we must run to Him, He is capable and able and willing to meet us, to hold our hand, to be able to bring us through difficult periods in our life. And whatever it is, even if there is no healing that comes out and you come out alive, His ultimate healing will be for you to join Him. Of course, in sudden death, when families come to the hospital and tell us this, we can't say, oh, you know, you're on your way journeying home, you know. It's good, you know, it's very good, you know, instead of being here and paying the hospital bill, what you want to occupy this hospital bed for? Go and join the Lord. Can you imagine if we were to tell families that in sudden death? We need to calibrate our response. We need to be able to sense. We need to be able to look at the need. And Elisha looked at her. In fact, there's no dialogue, although it's such a powerful image. There's no dialogue, you know. Elisha sends Gehazi first, and then Elisha comes down. And now comes the beauty of the healing. He goes to the exact room which this kind lady had opened up to him. And he sees the dead boy on his bed. And he lies down on the child. And then he gets up. And in the Bible, he doesn't stop once. The ministry of healing does not stop once. The ministry of healing is again and again. It's in all your Bibles. And after doing it again and again, this child comes back to life. And he hands this child back to his mother. Now let's move to the New Testament passage. And our Lord Jesus Christ also told the disciples this in John chapter 6. You know, it's very convenient for me to be around, you know. You want to drink wine? Oh, very good. I can turn water into wine. You're hungry? Well, good. You know, I can turn stone into bread. You need to cross over the river, yeah, you cannot swim because there's a storm. It's okay, I can calm the storm down, you know. It's very convenient for you to listen to signs and wonders and always expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to be around. So our Lord gave His disciples three principles, which is very important. Verse 27, anything I do comes from the approval of my Father. Anything you do. First, you must never be scattered in your vision, especially in a crisis or even in your day-to-day living. But anything you do must have the approval of my Father. Our Lord must give you that approval. Secondly, all the works that I do comes from the blessings of my Father as well. Verse 29. And in verse 35, ultimately He tells His disciples, it's not all these signs and wonders, you know. We should never just believe signs and wonders. We must believe the giver behind the signs and wonders. Our gifts were given to be strengthened in this body of Christ. Our gifts are not Oscars, you know, to be shown and bragged about. Every gift, and you all are a gifted community. Some of you may know your gifts, some of you may not. But every spiritual gift given to you was for the benefit of this household and congregation. And everything is given to you so that you can edify one another, and ultimately, I am the bread of life. I am the one who will minister to you. I'm the one who will help you. He was telling his disciples, this is in John chapter 6. Of course, as time goes on, I think you know what will happen to our Lord Jesus Christ. So in bringing both the passages together, what can we learn this evening about our Lord? As I repeat, I've actually entitled it One Day, because one day is from the woman from Shunem. One day, one day, one day. And believe me, you will all have your one days. All of you have a birthday, and that birthday is your one day first. All of you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and that is the second one day in your life. You need to remember it. You must remember it, because you put your hand in the hand of an almighty living King. But there's going to be another one day. When it comes, how it comes, I do not know. But I hope when it comes, you will actually run to the servant of the living God. Don't run away, because our Lord never moves. Our Lord is never early. Our Lord is never late. Our Lord is always on time. You must move towards our Lord Jesus Christ, because ultimately, as our Lord Jesus said, I am the giver and I am the bread of life. When you come to Him, and as we have seen in the hospital so many times, we all want to be whole. When we want to leave the hospital, also we want to be whole. And in the hospital, we can only stay about 1 month and we have to go home. And sometimes the elderly do not want to go home because there's nobody at home. You see, in the hospital, there are people. Every morning, they'll wake you up, they'll call you. I mean, you get... There's nothing much about hospital food, but I've taken it for 36 years. Please look at me. I've only lost my hair. Nothing else has happened to me. I've been a practicing physician for 36 years. I have no choice but to enjoy hospital food, because when you're on duty, you have to stay. Okay? But I'm fine. Okay? But people who are sick want more nutritious food. Everybody wants avocado. No? They think avocado, you can just go out to the garden and pluck like sweet potato. No, avocado. Everybody wants avocado. Everybody wants the food to be heated just nicely to 34.2 degrees. It's a very interesting ministry when you deal, and especially you thought that when I'm well, you know, I won't, when I'm sick, I won't be so fussy. Wrong. But the Lord who brings all these people through our doors, all of them who want to be healed, actually they want to be whole. So we can minister to them. We work as a team. We walk through with them. But not everyone will be the same state when they go back home. But they still have to go home, and they have to continue their lives as such. Ultimately, those who want to know more about the Lord, we have a service on the ground. We have our pastoral team on the ground. And they will be taught how to receive Christ and how to walk with Christ. But for all races and all religions, everyone who has an inclination, we always want to be able to be as whole as possible. So our Lord Jesus Christ, in ending, told them, please don't just look for signs and wonders. Please believe in me, because I'm the giver of all life. Don't look at the signs, look at the giver. And if you take the giver in your life, he will bless you with such amazing gifts, such amazing fruit, such amazing power, that you will be blessed wholly. Let me just close by praying for all of you first, and then I'll hand over to Pastor Freddie. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, this afternoon for teaching us that we are blessed by you. We thank you, Lord, for the health you have given to us. We thank you for the physical, emotional, and spiritual health that you have blessed us with. And like the woman from Shunem, we all want to be well, Father. We really want to be well. We want all diseases to be binded and to be thrown out of our life. But Father, we want to thank you this afternoon that all diseases bow down before you. And as all diseases bow down before you, we are also very mindful, Father, that all divine health comes from you. So I want to pray for each and everyone who is sitting here this afternoon, that they will always guard their health. They will always put their hand into your hand. They will anchor their life always according to your will. And they will be able to be thankful for whatever ounce of health you have given to them. And as we walk to live, we pray, Father, that it will guard your word in our hearts. We will guard you in our lives. We will always be able to apply your word into our life. And we will be able to give voice to your holy and wonderful name. Help us, Father, to always keep you clearly in our life, so that with you in our life, whether it's one day, whether it's every day, or whether it's your anchor all of our days, we pray, Father, as we will journey on with you, and we will thank you, and help us to be instruments to be able to share your love, your joy, and your strength to each and everyone that we meet daily.